is University Forum. I'm Jean Moore, bringing you conversations with outstanding personalities on issues of interest to local, national, and international communities. Our topic today, responding to the catastrophe of Hurricane Katrina. My guest, Dr. Sandra Williams Ortega, who went to New Orleans as a federal government health consultant to aid in crisis counseling for the victims of Hurricane Katrina and stayed to help in the rebuilding of the service delivery structure of health services. Dr. Ortega is president of the consulting firm of Ortega Associates, specializing in self-empowerment and collaborative relationships, and among her many roles, she is an adjunct faculty to the Federal Executive Institute in Charlottesville, Virginia. A licensed therapist, a graduate of Morgan State University, she also serves on the board of directors of Children's Service Incorporated. And welcome back, Dr. Ortega.
Thank you so much, Dr. Moore. Glad to be here.
It's a privilege, really, to have you on the program. You've done so much and you know so much. And I'm going to let you talk a lot about what happened in New Orleans. When you went, why did you go? What was it like?
I appreciate that. I appreciate this forum to share. I went to New Orleans the first week in October, and I went as a consultant of an agency of Health and Human Services known as SAMHSA, Substance Abuse Mental Health Services Administration. I was asked to go initially as crisis counselor. It didn't take me long once I got there to realize that the citizens, the agencies, the organizations were absolutely immobilized. I found myself in a leadership position, which on the face of it would seem awfully odd, and it seemed odd to me that I, an outsider and a stranger, would be sitting within the governing body of the command center that was situated in the Hyatt Hotel in the downtown district of New Orleans, helping to come up with policy guidelines for and discussions about rebuilding the city. But the bottom line was that the people who were there, who were charged with managing the city, administering resources, were completely devastated themselves and were completely stuck and immobilized. I offered support and was able to provide support to the Metropolitan Human Services District, which is responsible to the state for all regional human services in the greater New Orleans area. Human services such as substance abuse, human services such as mental health, human services such as those needed by those who are disabled or developmentally disabled, social services. When I got there, Jean, I remember the second day after I'd gotten there, I remember walking around my hotel, walking around just a few blocks around the hotel because I didn't know my way. I was a stranger in town, and I looked down, and on the sidewalk, on the whole length of sidewalk outside of my hotel, were birds, beautiful plump birds that had fallen out of the sky, dead. I couldn't believe it. There were 8 birds that had just fallen out of the sky. And for the next week, I witnessed birds, pigeons who would just get sick and just die. And it was just amazing. Mm. That's what I found when I first went down there. That was the environment. That was the nature of the pollutants. Of course, there was devastation and destruction everywhere. The people who were charged with helping keep people safe and helping to provide resources were themselves stuck. Everybody had been evacuated. Everybody was homeless. Everybody was looking for a place to stay, living in tents, living in hotels. It was a massive story or chaotic situation. When I went down there initially, you couldn't even You couldn't drink the water in the hotel. You couldn't take a bath because of, you know, the likelihood of bacteria in the water. So it was that kind of situation. There was no place to eat. The food was not there. The people were sick. There were no medicines. All the hospitals were gone. Everything was destroyed. I moved then from providing crisis counseling to trying to help rebuild the service delivery infrastructure. This was a request of the Metropolitan Human Services District to please help them rebuild. And a part of that rebuilding was redesigning and integrating the behavioral health system, which I'm happy to say they are using that integration model right now. And what I mean by an integration model is that when I got down there, all the computers, all the clinics were closed, all the buildings were unfit, there was no place to work, there was no data, there were no files, there was no medicine, everything was destroyed. And the system worked this way, in that all of the services that were provided in a kind of silo design. By that I mean the substance abuse services were provided all by themselves in a standalone way, so that the people who provided those services only knew about substance abuse. The developmental disability services were provided with no outside awareness that this is the highest population that, in terms of substance abuse, victims. I'm trying to say that those people who are disabled are the greatest population of those people who have problems. And, yes. And of course, this makes sense because disability cuts across all ages, all lines. But what I'm saying is that in this chaos, when I went down there, I found that what I was sent there to do and the skills that I thought I would use, I had to sort of throw them out of the window. They're good. They were good as a foundation. But when you're dealing with people in crisis situations, when you're dealing with people, a whole group of people, a whole population of people who have nothing, then you have to discover new skills. You have to learn to be creative. You have to try to build something out of nothing. And that was the challenge of Katrina. Luckily, though, Dean, I had a mother who built something out of nothing. And so I was not emotionally stuck or mentally stuck. I knew that I was in a place where I had to make a whole new creative beginning and go from there.
You knew who you were and you brought with you all of that.
I did.
To this, but it must have been somewhat overwhelming at first to see the kind of chaos and also those birds.
It was like nothing I had ever seen before. When you go to a place and you see devastation all around, when you see baby strollers and cars and the tops of trees, and when you see buses, you know, on top of roofs, when you take people through the lower Ninth Ward, a community, a huge community that is everything is gone and your homes are laying at your feet as planks, when there are no mementos left, no sign of your life experience, then that's trauma of the highest level, Dean.
And the people, it must have been strange that some of the people may have been there, but that most of the people were not there.
Most of the people were not there. When I went there initially, most of the people there were the so-called first responders, of which I was one, people who had come to help, the direct service providers. People were gone. They had no services. They had been evacuated. So the city, there weren't many cars. And as I said, the city was full of first responders who themselves were having all kinds of trauma and burnout.
There was a lot of talk about the police not responding, and yet they must have been in a very difficult
condition.
They
themselves were evacuees. They themselves were living on the boats. You heard about the boats down there, three boats, the Sensation, the Ecstasy, and the Scotia Princess down there. And those boats housed evacuees. Those boats housed the direct service providers. They housed the first responders. They housed about 500 or 600 children. So they themselves were in a terrible state. Regarding that issue, Jean, shortly after I got down there, like I said, I don't know how I found myself in this leadership position. I don't know. What happened was that the Metropolitan Human Services District, which I was there to support, asked me to man a chair in the command center at the health desk. Within this command center, for those, you know, who know anything about the military.
Which you know.
If I do know. And if they can envision a command center that is governing the field operations, this command center governed the field operations. In this command center was the mayor's command center office there, and there were desks around which sat every agency that was responsible for a piece of the rebuilding. I sat at the health desk, and at this health desk was CDC, was public health, was mental health, medical health, all these things, that animal health, that have to do with health. And the Metropolitan Human Services District asked me to man that desk because they just weren't able to do it.
No, and they had somebody, fortunately, who has not only that background but that commitment to find something out of nothing and to make it work.
Well,
absolutely unbelievable.
I tell you. And what happened was that out of 300 people, let's say, workers, employees of this district, when I got down there, there were only, I think, about 60-some. So I manned that desk and found myself in a position of making decisions that have to do with health and rebuilding.
You're listening to University Forum with my guest, Dr. Sandra Williams-Ortega, and we're talking about responding to the catastrophe of Hurricane Katrina. Dr. Ortega, my good friend, how was it to be there and to try to find and make family, which is so important to you, to make family for children and for family that was really dispersed in a way? What did you do and how did you deal with that?
Oh, whoa. It was just one of the saddest things. It remains one of the saddest things, Jean, to know that still over 1,000, maybe 2,000, I don't know the latest figure, families are still separated. Family members are unaccounted for. That, Jean, is unfathomable. I mean, I just can't see how that happened, but it happened.
But why did it happen? Was it the hurricane that separated them, or does it have to do with now the planning to have them dispersed to get to safe ground? And
I think this was one of the, needless to say, you'll hear people saying that this is one of our, this was our greatest natural disaster. That's not true. And of course, the people of the Gulf Coast don't believe, no, it is not true. It was our greatest, one of our greatest, maybe the greatest man-made disasters. And it was a disaster because of unparalleled proportions, because our government, to my way of seeing it, the people of the Gulf Coast were not at a high enough level of importance to make our government care enough about moving as fast as it needed to move.
It moved too slowly.
It moved too slowly. It moved too slowly, and it failed to have a plan that worked, a plan that cared, in position to take care of people. When people were still a few, maybe a month ago, people are returning home and still finding their loved ones dead in the homes. When they return to their homes to, you know, try to fix them up or see what kind of condition they're in.
That's unconscionable.
You know that's unconscionable. You know that something happened that was horrendously wrong. How kids got separated, I don't know. When did that happen before? Was it during the Vietnamese War when children were just put on the plane, you know, that last plane and just, how can that happen now? We as a nation have to be accountable for our people. And as of this sitting, they are not. At least for Hurricanes Katrina and Rita. Hurricane Katrina, they were not. I just can't bear. Sometimes I think about it and it's almost unbearable to think about it. The people, I'll tell you about the people, Jean. I mean, people like you, lovely people. I miss them. I miss them because you asked me about family. They made me family. They made me family. I got an email yesterday saying, you know, I love you, Sandy. Thank you. Hurry back home. I mean, this makes you cry. I went down there one day. My purse got stolen. And when the Metropolitan Human Services District heard that it was stolen, don't you know the next thing I knew, they were bringing me a purse? And they didn't have anything. Mm. They had lost everything. And I said, bring me a purse? I can take my stuff in a paper bag. I'll go back home and get a purse. They put their money together. They bought me a purse. I don't know where they got it from, but imagine.
But, Sandy, what we've heard is that the people in New Orleans were so mean and nasty. And,
oh, they're loving.
And those of us who know New Orleans know that that's not so.
Oh, that's not so.
And from what you're saying, it's not so even in this time of crisis.
Of crisis and peril. I mean, these people are in pain, and they have, right now, so many of them have no way of getting, no knowledge of pulling the pieces together to get beyond this pain. They are remarkable. They are remarkable in that when you go up to them and say, how are you? They say, I am fine. And how are you, dear? This is too much. It's unbelievable. Yeah. And what it tells you is that for all of the years of training that I have had, what it told me is that I needed to get back to my roots. I needed to rediscover my humility. I just needed to get back to the basics, because we're talking about people who are on that very, very bottom now, the Maslow's theory, who need shelter and who need food and who need a place to stay. Yeah.
The very basics.
The very, very basics.
What is the possibility of this happening sooner rather than much later?
The possibility of those basics just today. And you know, it's almost 6 months. At the end of this month, it'll be 6 months after Katrina. Today, the president announced that the federal government would give another $4-point-something billion to help the people. He did this under duress. That's the way I see it, having been there and having sat with, you know, been through this with people, certainly on the fringes, but having witnessed the struggle day in and day out that they are going through. So today he says, 6 months later, that, hey, we're going to give $4-point-billion to the people of Hurricane Katrina. So far, they gave, when the president announces that he has given $85 billion, which he likes to announce, that really isn't true. He gave, I think there's been $6.2 billion that has gone into helping people rebuild their homes. And so this $4 billion will be, say, $10 billion or something like that that's gone into helping to rebuild their homes. I appreciate the effort. But even as I hear that him talk, I say to myself now, how is it that we can take such good care of others and our own people are starving. Our children are separated. Schools aren't opened. People are living in tents and under bridges, the Charles Street Bridge, and dying.
What do we need? Do we need money and the will to do it?
I think, from my perspective, we need the will to do it. We got all the money in the world. We can, mint money every day. We can do what we want.
We rebuild a lot of places. It's a question of saying, there's the plan, get this done.
It's a question of deciding that these people have value. That's the question. It's a question of deciding that these people are Americans who built this country. That's what it is.
Do the people in New Orleans, for example, do they feel that their country has forgotten them?
They feel very forgotten. They feel very forgotten, and I suspect that you would too. If you had turned out of a hotel like FEMA did the other day, and you out in the street, and you got to find a place to live when there is no place to live, then you're going to feel forgotten too. There is a lot of criminal behavior going on, to my way of thinking. And I don't mind sharing it with others, my way of thinking.
Now, when you say criminal behavior, you're not talking about the people who are the victims of the hurricane.
I'm talking about immorality in terms of taking advantage of victims of the hurricane. For instance, many of the people, and I do have a lot of anecdotal information. I have oral history that people have shared with me and talking to me. What happened is that when they were there before Katrina, they would pay, for instance, say the rent was $200 or $300 a month. Well, the courts came in and said, okay, you people who are evacuated, if you don't get back here in a month, the landlord can put you out, and he can rent this place. And, of course, that's what happened to many. And the rent skyrocketed. Rent's there now, $2,000, $3,000 a month. Who can pay this? Now, some people are paying it. Consultants are paying it. The people are paying it. And a lot of people are interested in that. The housing, they're ultimately, I think they're, people are feeling that there may be a lot of money to be made down here. This business of destruction and devastation, Dean, is big business. Just wait and see.
Wow. As we begin to wind down this program.
Oh, I'm not ready to stop.
No, I'm going to ask you, can we continue for another half hour on this? What we see as far as the future, just as we begin to wind this out, though, where do you see as a future for New Orleans? Do you see New Orleans rebuilt?
I don't know what shape that rebuilding will take. I would love to see the Lower Ninth Ward rebuilt. I would love to see that culture retained. I would love to see the population mix stay as it is. I've never been to a place where there are so many subgroups, so many various populations, where every neighborhood has its own culture. It's a marvelous place. It's a magical place. I would like to see it rebuilt in its old magic. I don't see any governmental support or promotion of to rebuild the Lower Ninth Ward, which is a huge, huge, huge community. It's the community right at the levee, the community that was that was flooded, along with other communities. I am hoping, though, if I had my druthers, I would like for that whole area to be rebuilt with nice homes that don't cost much. I think about this as we close this piece. If the Amish can raise a home on a weekend.
How about that?
How come we can't?
It can be done. It can be done. The question is, as you say, is the will. Before we close this out, though, just want you to make one announcement in the event that this is aired before it takes place, and that is that you are going to have a tribute to the people of New Orleans with taking the choir from the
Morgan State University Choir number one in the nation, and I am a proud alumna.
I just want them to know that. And that's one of the plans that you have in mind.
Yes, indeed. The 22nd of March.
Yes.
It's going to happen to pay tribute to these people and to the spirit. And I see them as not just survivors. I see these people who are strivers. I see them as role models. I see them as national heroes who are showing us what strength, what form, strength, and inner fortitude and faith takes.
In spite of all the adversity.
In spite of it all.
Well, I want to thank you very much for this part of our programming and urge my listeners to turn in next week for the second half of it. And I want to thank you, Dr. Sandra Williams-Ortega. I'm Jean Moore. Please send your comments or questions on University Forum programs to me by email at jemoore@wrti.org or call my voicemail 215-204-4376.